Indigo Girls with us from our bureau in New York. No sooner do I say we can't print than they figure it out. So here's an email we have from Aaron in Iowa City, Iowa. Where do you draw the line between being an artist and being an activist? Do you justify your art by message it conveys or vice versa? I struggle with this as a visual artist. At what point does art cease to be art and become solely social activism?
Well, one thing we do on a practical level is we run our business in a way where we try to be activist with our business, too, so that we feel like it's merged in the way of living your activism and in that way. And then as far as, like, art goes, we focus on the songwriting in of itself without... We don't think about the activism while we're writing the song, necessarily. I mean, our music has its own space, and when we do shows, we... Unless it's like a specific benefit or activist event, we really focus on the music more than anything else. And the activism part of that is just the fact that you're bringing a community of people together to sing, really. So, and Emily probably has...
And I just, you know, there's plenty of art that brings people to action, so I don't think you need to label it. I think if it stirs your heart and your soul and it makes you want to take action in life, then that's art and that's activism, one and the same piece.
We're going to take another short break and see if we can get one last song from the Indigo Girls when we come back from the other side. Plus, a new online ballot for the 7 wonders of the world rankles one famous archaeologist. Should the pyramids really need to be voted on? And, of course, your letters. It's Tuesday. I'm Neil Conan. Join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can join us on our blog, too, npr.org/blogofthenation. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. What makes me think I could start being slated? The hardest to learn was the least complicated. What makes me think I could start being slated? The hardest to learn was the least complicated. Today, the Indigo Girls are with us from our bureau in New York. They are Amy Ray and Emily Saliers. Their latest CD is called Despite Our Differences, and you can listen to a couple of clips at the Talk of the Nation page at npr.org. Here's an email we have from Cheryl in Columbus, who's been trying to call in but unable to get through. I was wondering how difficult it is to maintain an interest in performing songs that have been around for 20 years. Do they begin to take on different meanings as time passes, or is it difficult to keep an interest? I'm getting married next month, and I lobbied the priest to allow me to walk down the aisle to a secular song, yours, the Wood Song. The Wood Song has meant different, very precious things to me over the years, especially in my relationship. Do the meanings change for you as well? Thanks.
That's a good question. They do change sometimes. Sometimes I write a song and I think I'm writing it about somebody else or other people, and then I realize that I'm writing it about me, or depending on what I'm going through in life. You know, like for Closer to Fine, I wrote that song in 1988. And it means different things for me now at this age in, you know, 2007. So it's a beautiful thing that the songs can morph into things that still mean something to the writer, even after having written them so long ago and having played them for 20 years. But Amy and I, we make a fresh set list every night before a show, and we don't play songs we don't feel like playing. And there are just some of them that have stuck around, and the audience likes to sing, and so it still lifts them up for us and keeps them fresh and interesting.
So it's strange that everyone, since you wrote this song, that you discover, oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah, it is strange, because I don't know, that's just a mysterious thing that happens. I can't explain it.
Well, how about one of those songs whose meaning will change over time?
Well, this is one. It's called Closer to Fine.